Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Well, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. Every year, we get together and we have what we call Vision Sunday. Vision Weekend, if you will, because we do Saturday services as well. But this is Vision Weekend 2026. And every year, we give a theme for the year. And now, like I said earlier in the church service today, that theme doesn't just stop when the year ends. It's something that God sows into our church that continues to produce long after the year is over. Things like love, things like peace. We had a year of holiness one year. It used to be when Pastor Jim and Deborah were here that, you know, Pastor Jim was so prophetic that he would just let things fly out of his mouth as the Spirit moved him, and we wouldn't know what it was until it came out of his mouth. Sometimes it wouldn't be like January. It'd be like, you know, April or something like that. All of a sudden, Pastor Jim, this is the year of holiness. And we were like, oh, okay. And we're all scrambling to catch up, you know, putting billboards together and things like that and making things happen on the back end. I'm different, you know. I'm not the son of a prophet. Maybe I'm the son-in-law of a prophet, you know. And maybe I'm the husband of a prophet. And, you know, she's very prophetic. I'm more, you know, a teacher and that sort of thing. And I know my calling as a pastor. But, you know, oftentimes God speaks to me through his word. And so I've had to press in, I've had to pray, I've had to seek God's face. Every year for the past 10 years, as we've approached the new year, I've just sought God for vision and sought God for what it is that he wants and how he wants to frame the year ahead. This year, we did something different. Pastor Jess and I set aside some time to pray together and to just seek God together as a couple, as pastors and co-leaders here in the house of God. And so we had some time away, and don't you know the devil tried to distract us, and you know, we told the staff, don't call us unless it's an emergency. Sure enough, an emergency came up, and we were like, man, so we went and handled some things, but you know, God is so gracious, he's so faithful, that he spoke to our hearts, and we had some things on our hearts we started to lay out, some things that God had been doing, and things that we were looking forward to in the year ahead. I had the word freedom on my heart, and I just started to express those things, and that led us to a place where we're talking about freeing from something, free to something, and it led us to 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, verse number 9 and verse number 10. Now, 1 Chronicles is a book that lays out genealogies. And I know for some of you guys doing the year Bible reading plan, that sort of thing, sometimes you get into a book like Chronicles and you start reading so-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, and they begat so-and-so, and then they had six brothers, and they begat sons and daughters, and they begat, and after a while, you're like, I don't care, you know, like, if I read one more Hebrew name that I don't understand, like, where is John and Joe, and, you know, where's all those guys, you know, I understand those names, but my goodness, this is so boring. Can I at least read Job or something, you know, like, something different. But right in the middle of these genealogies, something takes place. God sees someone who has faith. And don't you know that God will jump over thousands of people to find one person who will believe him? And it says this in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, verse number 9. It says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez means pain. How would you like to be named Pain? You know, your mama wakes you up in the morning. Hey, Pain, time to get up. Pain, it's time to come inside. Dinner's ready. Wash your hands, Pain. I mean, that would be horrible, wouldn't it? I would hate that. I mean, you'd have this kind of stigma on you, you know. You're walking around the shopping mall and, hey, Pain, where's Pain at? Pain? Oh, there he is. Pain, get over here. Don't wander off, Pain. You'd be looking around like, does everybody think that I'm like bad, you know? It would follow you everywhere you go. I'm sure there was insecurities. Things that he carried all his life. But the Bible records that even though he was named Pain, that he was more honorable than his brothers. Why? Verse number 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. He cried out to God. He called on him. He prayed. This is why, because he had faith. He trusted God and he believed God. And he says this, he called on the God of Israel saying, oh, that you would bless me. Indeed. In other words, God, I'm in a place of pain. God, I don't like where I'm at. But God, if I'm going to get out of this, if there's going to be a change, I know who to go to. I can call on the God of Israel. I can call on my God, and something rises up out of him, so much so that his first word is, oh! It just rose up out of it. This is a heart's cry. This is something that he's passionately into. And he cries out to God and he says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Sometimes people get down on people in church because we ask for blessings. Sometimes people say, well, that's just, you know, that health and wealth, prosperity, gospel type of thing. What do you do with scriptures like this? He's not praying for God to bless someone else. He's praying, God, I need you to bless me. I'm in a place that I don't like, that I don't want, and I got to get out of it. I can't be in this place of pain any longer. So God, I need something from you. God, I need your blessing. Because the blessing of God is the capacity to succeed. It's not money in your pocket. It's not something given to you. It's not some material thing. That's not blessed. Oh, that's a blessing. Oh, I was blessed with this. That's great. That's wonderful. But the blessing of God is the capacity to succeed. He says, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Once again, he's asking for something, isn't he? He's asking for something greater than where he's at. He says, I'm in this place of pain right now, but God, I got to get out. So God, I need you to enlarge something in my life. I need you to give me a broader place to go, to place the soles of my feet. I can't stay here in this place of pain any longer. I've got to get out, God. And so I need you to enlarge my territory. God, I can handle some more. And he says that your hand would be with me. See, the hand of God represented the power and the ability of God on our behalf. We call that presently the grace of God. It's God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. He says, God, if your blessing is upon me and you enlarge my territory, I'm going to need something else. I'm going to need your grace. I'm going to need your ability. I need your hand to be upon me. But then he switches tones for a second, and he concludes his prayer by saying, and that you would keep me from evil. You see, the moment you start to step out of the place that you were in, the moment you start to rise up, the moment God starts to expand your territory and his blessing and his hand, his grace is upon you, the devil starts to see what's going on and he starts to try to take you out. Temptations hit, evil comes. He takes notice. He sees you rising up and says, oh, I'll get him. Starts to try and take you out. So he says, God, I pray that you would keep me from evil. And look at this last part of his prayer, that I may not cause pain. God, it's been my namesake. It's been my whole life. God, it's how I started. I started by causing my mama pain. And all my life, I've been called that name. But God, I'm asking you for something. I'm asking for a blessing. I'm asking for expanded territory. I'm asking for your hand to be upon me. God, please keep me from evil. But God, here's the reason why. That I may not be what my namesake is. That it may not cause pain. See, if you look at that in the positive, what does that say? He says that I'm not going to cause pain, that I'm going to be a blessing. See, if I'm blessed, there's a purpose for my blessing. And the purpose is that I can be a blessing to someone else. That's the reason why I'm seeking this, God. Look at this last sentence of verse number 10. It says, so God granted him what he requested. God saw the faith of this man, pain. And he's asking for a blessing. And God says, if you're going to believe me, I'm going to give it to you. You will receive. Why? Because God wants us to be blessed. God wants to expand our lives. God wants to expand our territory. God wants his hand to be upon us. He wants us to rely on him for his grace and his strength. God wants to keep us from evil so that we won't be people who cause pain to others, but that we can be people who cause pleasure, people who can be a blessing. That is the plan of God for all of us. As Pastor Jessica and I were talking about these verses out of her heart, she said, well, that just speaks one word to me, increase. The vision for 2026 is increase. Now, God confirmed to us that this is going to be the theme for the year ahead. And when we look at something like this, when we look at increase, it's easy to think about things like more people. That's increase in church, right? More money. Well, that's increase, you know, more things in our lives. You know, I've been believing God for a new car or a new, outfit or something. I get that. But that's like basic, you know what I mean? That's like surface level. I believe that God wants so much more for our lives. That God has something greater and something deeper, something that will cause you to go, oh, you would bless me indeed. I believe that the blessing of God being the capacity to succeed speaks of increase. Expanded territory, increase. The hand of God, God's grace helping you to do the supernatural, increase. Being kept from evil and not causing pain, being a blessing, increase, not just to me, to others. Increase, increase, increase. I believe God wants to bring increase into our lives personally, but as well corporately as a church in the year of 2026. ahead of all of us. What does this mean, Pastor Jess?
Well, increase is quite a word, and then we're looking at this, and we're coming off the heels of some crazy things going on around us in our world. And we can look at it and we can be discouraged, and maybe you're coming off of a hard year. Maybe you're kind of in a hole right now and you're like, I just need God. I don't know what he's doing. I can't even imagine increase at this point. I'm just trying to keep my head above the water and I feel like I'm drowning. But I'm here to tell you, church, that God wanted me to stir within you that spirit man, that God that lives on the inside of you. If you call yourself a Christian, then Jesus Christ lives on the inside of us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And that the increased capacity of God is at hand in our lives. And yet we need to put it into play this year. That God wants to pour heaven out on our lives this year. That no matter what is happening around us in the world, that the church of the living God will be alive, will be at rest, will have the joy of the Lord, we will have the goodness of God, and even though we go through trials, we will be anchored in our faith, and we know that God is at work. So increase. What do you need increase for? Do you need it in your lives? Do you need it in your marriages? Do you need it in your families? Do you need it with your children? Do you need it in mended relationships? Do you need it in healing? What does it look like for you? I want you to write that down. What kind of increase is needed in my life this year? Because I believe increase is bigger than our need. I think God is asking us to look beyond ourselves this year and ask him what his need is for us to be a part of what the last pouring out of the harvest will be before he comes home. Because God is coming back, church. And he is calling his children to awaken. And our question and our need can't always be, what can you do for me, God? But the question this year needs to be, God, increase me, expand my territory, bless me, and let your hand be on me. So God, what is it you are doing that I need to link up with, that I need to get in line with, that I need to change in me to be more like you? You see, the kingdom of heaven is calling out for its people. And God is calling us to attention. And I believe God is doing some things in our lives. And in order for increase to come, there has to be some partnering with God in this. God is not a slot machine. You don't just get saved and say yes to Jesus and then keep living your life the way you want to live it. No, with God, it is according to his ways, his heart, his desires. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what people around you say. It doesn't matter what feels good. Oh my goodness, yes, what feels good. Don't just do whatever you want to do. No, you got to follow what this says, what the word of God, the inspired Holy Spirit has written, has given us to live by. It is our word. It is our breath. It is our life. And God has come and he is looking for his bride. Will she have oil in her lamps and will she be ready for that day when he is coming back? And see, God wants to increase us. He wants to increase our capacity to believe him for impossible things. He wants to increase your capacity to have an understanding of when you read the word of God, that it's shut up in your bones and all of a sudden something changes in you. He wants to increase your capacity to stop thinking in your old way and start thinking in a God way. He wants to increase your capacity to start doing your marriage differently than you've seen for generations that have not worked. Because God created marriage, so that means God has a way of doing it. You say, well, my kids are a mess. Well, guess what? God has a plan for that too. Because God wants to increase us, but we've got to do things, church, God's way. You cannot expect God to pour out the blessing. He's not a slot machine. You can't expect him to do what it is you want him to do and then do nothing for him. He's done everything for you. He laid his life down on that cross for you. His blood was shed. His body was ripped open so that you could come boldly to the throne room of God. And yet God is asking us to look at our lives, look at our capacity, look at ourselves, and he's asking us to be real about it. Our pain and our sorrow and the things that we're facing, they're hard. We've been through some hard things this year. I talked to a wonderful woman of God as I walked through the back door last week. And she said, it's been a hard year, Pastor, but a good year. And I said, you know what? Would you still serve God in the same way if your year would have been good? Because when things are good, guess what happens? We get lazy with God. And when things are hard, all of a sudden, oh, I need God. I feel so bad for him that we treat him that way. And so the Lord was really working with me, and he's like, as you step into this fast, I want you to do some things. I want to teach the church some things, and I'm asking the church to get close to me. And so Pastor Antonio and us were in a podcast this week, and we were talking about fasting. And he said, a lot of people don't understand what corporate fasting is. And as I began to study the Word of God, go with me to 1 Samuel. Let's read about it. And I'm going to tell you what's happening in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, the Israelites, they're serving other gods. They're worshiping other idols. They're going out, and in the actual temple that should be only for God, they are bringing demonic idols in there and other things, and God is mad at them. And because they're doing this, they have now lifted and they've opened a door of unprotection in their land and in their lives. And the Philistines are coming against them and taking their land from them. And the Israelites are afraid. They don't know what to do. And so Samuel the prophet, God speaks to him. He says, go tell them what to do. You see, in the midst of our fear and our worry and even our stupid decisions that open doors to demonic realms, God is right there going, well, here, let me give you a fix. And so he sends the man of God, Samuel, to the people. And he said, Samuel said this, you need to repent and you need to get rid of every idol and every god that is not the one and only true God of Israel. And the people said, okay, we'll do it. And so they got rid of everything. And then he said, I'm calling a fast. You need a fast before God, and you need to pray, and you need to seek God for deliverance and for restoration. And the people began to pray and cry out to God. And Samuel poured out a water sacrifice. And then he brought a lamb to God for on behalf of the people of Israel. And then guess what happened? God heard them. He heard them. He said, oh, do you see what they're doing? They're actually turning and coming to me. Now I can move on their behalf. And as the Philistines began to enter their land, God clapped like a thunder in the heavens. And all of a sudden, the Philistines, these big guys that could overtake them easily, started to get confused. And they didn't know what they were doing. And they were thrown off. And their game plan was ruined because God brought confusion and chaos into their world. And the Israelites saw that they didn't know what they were doing, and so they took into battle, and they pushed the Philistines out of their land, and they took their territory back that God had given to them. And church, I'm here to tell you, you have allowed Satan to take too much of your territory in your lives, in your minds, in your hearts, in your families, in every part of your life. Because you have believed the lies of this world. You have believed the schemes of Satan. You have been deceived and you have been distracted. And God is saying to you in this time of prayer, if you will set aside this time, I will speak to your heart. I will tell you exactly what you need to be doing, what needs to be removed from your life and what needs to come up in your life, where I need to lead you and where I have plans for you. Because every single one of you is ordained by God, loved by God, and God sees you. But our sins cannot any longer be a reason we are separated from God. You see, in Samuel verse 13, it says, so the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come anymore into the territory of Israel. You see, when they got God's plans and when they got God's ideas and when God got on their side, guess what happened? They got the God plan, the God outcome, the God territory was theirs, and they were able to take back their land. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And then the cities of the Philistines had taken from Israel, and they were restored to Israel from Achan to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hand of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. You see, when God gets on the scene, God, things begin to happen. God begins to do things. But when I want to do things my own way, and when I ask God to do things, and I'm in sin, and I'm doing things my own way, and then I come to God and I say, but God, oh, deliver me from this and help me in this, but I'm not living my life for God, are we going to get the increase? Are we going to get the favor? Is the hand of God going to be poured out? No. And a real good pastor would tell you that. But we've been pastors in pulpits trying to coddle your ears and tell you, oh, just to keep your cute little butts in your seats. And you know, I love you, but it's your choice to serve God. It's my choice to tell you who he is. Yeah. And God has told me today, and me and Pastor Deborah were talking about this, and she said, we cannot ask of God to sanctify what he has commanded us to crucify. You cannot ask God to sanctify what God has commanded you to crucify. What does that look like? Well, as you get closer to God, you will know what he wants from you. As you get closer to him, you say, well, Pastor, I got some deep things that I'm having a hard time breaking and addictions. Listen, I was there, man. I was a mess. But God restored me and filled me. And it was in my intimacy with him. It was in my closeness with God that I began to receive the increase in my walk with the Lord. And God was able to pour out his spirit on my life. God is not a respecter of persons. He will do the same for you. And as I was praying yesterday morning, I have this dog. I have two dogs. And this dog, you heard me preach about her if you've come on a Wednesday night. We call her the devil because she's always under our feet. And she's always bugging me when I bring the Bible out. She like literally cries and whines and she's such a distraction. I'm like, get behind me, Satan. But if I'm really honest, she is the most loyal dog in the world. I never have to look for Lucy. I always know where Lucy is because Lucy's with me. Or Lucy's with Dan or Lucy's with the boys or Chloe when she's home. Because she's in college. So this is Dan, and Dan always says he hates Lucy, but this is Lucy who loves Dan. And so, and no matter where we go, she's with us. Dan will not let her sleep on my bed, but Lucy waits for Dan to go to sleep, and then she crawls up in the bed quietly, and then she tucks into me, and we cuddle at night. And then, in the mornings, she will sit with me when I read my Bible or bug me to go to the bathroom. And then Lucy, when I'm cooking, she will bang her head. She's a shih tzu. She has a flat face. And I don't know if she can see or not. I don't know what her problem is. But she's always banging to the back of my leg. Like, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm like, you're here. I see you. And God said, as much as it's annoying how she hangs out with you so closely, that's what I wish that my people would do with me. I wish my people would want to be with me that much. I wish they were as loyal to me as I was to them. I wish that my people, I didn't have to go looking for them and find them because they're so lost, but that they would be right next to me so that I could just pour out all the goodness on them. You see, Lucy is fat. Why? Because Lucy is right there when I'm cooking and I'm sweeping the cheese off the counter, and guess who's eating the cheese? Lucy is the one getting the ends of the bread when the bread falls. I have another dog. His name is Max. Max is not fat because Max is an old man that just wanders around the house, and we never know where Max is. Max could care less if we're around except if Mike is in the room. And so Max does not get what Lucy gets. Why? Because Lucy makes sure she's right next to the one that she knows that will provide the increase in her life, and so she's on wait for what is going to come. You see, church, we got to be on wait for what God is going to do. You got to get close to him. And in fasting and prayer, it's going to bring you so close to God that you're going to hear new things. You're going to see new things. You're going to get God ideas. You're going to see the supernatural. And even though the world around us is falling apart, you're going to have hope in your heart. And you're going to come alive and go, oh, but God, but God, but God, but God. I know I see what I see, but I know what my God says. And your heart is going to get full because you're with him. The other day, they opened the door, the front door, and the boys were loading things in the house, and I said, hey, guys, where's the dogs? And they go, oh, they're out front. And I went out front, and I didn't see Lucy. Normally, I don't see, Lucy never leaves. She's always close. And all of a sudden, she was gone, and I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, go in the street. I was like, no. And I went in the street, and there she was. Her head was down, and she was following a scent like this all the way down the street. And she's walking towards cars coming at her. And there are coyotes all on the side of the road. And I'm just like, Lucy, come! Because there was a panic in me. And I feel like God is saying that to the church. Church, come back to me! These are dark times. Come where I can keep you safe. Don't leave your borders. Don't leave your territory. I've given you the land. Retake it back. And Lucy stopped, and she knew she was in trouble. And she ran back to me with the tail between her legs, and I'm running to her because a car was coming. And I'm like, I pick her up, and I'm like, you're such a fat dog. So I'm trying to run back with this fat dog, and I'm like, you know what? You're a bad dog. You know better than this. And I said, why did you leave this house? And I put her down at the end of the driveway, and I said, right here is where you stay. You don't go further than this. Do you understand? Because if you do, I can't protect you, Lou. She just looked at me like, okay, you still love me? But see, God wants to protect you. God wants blessing for you. God wants an increase in your life. God has God gifts for you. God has God blessings for you. God has God anointing in your life. God has God favor for you. But are we close enough to get it? Are we intimate enough to know what he's saying so we could do what he's asking? You see, I want to challenge you this fast in this prayer to press into God. Second Chronicles says, if, that's conditional. Whenever you see if, it's up to you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive them of their sin, and I will heal their land. Church, can you imagine what would happen if Christians actually prayed for our land instead of biting and devouring? Now my eyes will be open and my ears will be attentive to prayer made in this place. I love this is what God says. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house. My name may be there forever and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. We need the hand of God working in our lives. Increase is coming your way. Press in, get close like Lucy is with me, and let's see what God has for us in the future of 2026.
Amen, amen. Our hope and our prayer is that you get with God on some of your own time, and as you fast and as you pray, you sit down with a pen and paper, maybe with a note on your phone or something like that, and you just get a personal vision from God. God, what are you speaking to me? And allow God just to show you some things about your life and about the future and what it is that God wants to do, and areas of increase that he wants to bring. I want to just bring, for the last part of this message, some practical ways that I believe that we're going to see some things here in the church about increase. And definitely, like we talked about, I believe that God's going to bring increase. We're going to pay off this church building for the free and five. That as we end that, we're going to see that. But also, you know, we talked about the prayer of Jabez. And Pastor Jess has been preaching on Ruth. And so at the end of the month, she's going to launch back into Ruth. So those of you guys that have been enjoying that series, the last Wednesday of January, she'll be back in to the story.
And I think God paused it because we're about to step into Ruth's life where she starts receiving increase.
Amen.
So it was timely that the Holy Spirit did that.
Absolutely. But after she concludes that, then when she gets out of Ruth, she's going to get into a series on the prayer of Jabez on Wednesday nights. And so be looking for that because there's so much more that we couldn't even get into. So every single one of those statements is its own message. And so we'll go through a series on that. Also, freedom has not gone away from my heart. And I believe this year God wants to highlight restoration here at The Rock. And so Breaking Free is launching. It's starting up again. And I would encourage you guys to get involved in that. Break free from those things, because sometimes God can't enlarge your territory until you get out of the pain that you're in. And that's one of those things that in prayer and seeking God and journaling and accountability, you know, that God will work with you to restore you so that he can enlarge your territory. So you can get out of that thing that's holding you and hindering you. We're also going to bring that to Sunday night. Some of you guys can't make it on Tuesday nights or, you know, whatever. But we're going to bring that to the church at large. It'll look different than the class does, obviously, because it'll be in a church service. So we're going to work on what that looks like and make that available to everybody. But that'll be a part of what we do this year. Also, we're going to step into, after next weekend when Apostle Mike comes, the following weekend, we're going to jump back into the book of Romans, doing a series on the Holy Spirit. Going to be phenomenal. I'll tell you, you want increase, just get with the Holy Spirit. He will lead you everywhere you need to go and just bless your life, because that's God. That's how we relate with God, right? It is through the Holy Spirit, because that is God, right? That's God in us. It's presently how God expresses himself on the earth, in his church, and in our lives personally. And so we're going to do that. But after Easter, we're going to take some time as we lead up to the birthday celebration to talk about getting our houses in order, what that looks like with our marriages, with our singleness, with our you know, children and our parenting, with business, with finance, every area of our life. And so we'll be leading up to our birthday celebration with a series on that. It'd be great. Also tonight, 6 p.m., we're going to ordain some new ministers. It's interesting because yesterday we had Terrence, who's going to become the youth pastor. He's over there serving the children. He's going to become Pastor Terrence tonight. We're going to ordain him as our youth pastor. This last service, first service, we had Timothy Paxton, who's going to be the reverend over our outreach ministries. Not a pastor, but we're going to ordain him as a reverend. Tonight, we'll talk about the difference between a pastor and a reverend. But then in this service, we got Melissa Schulte, who's going to become Pastor Melissa over the women's ministry and over events. And so just going to be great. I want to encourage you guys, come and include your faith. Come and be a part, participate in the blessing of increasing ministers here at The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We're going to talk about the laying on of hands, why we ordain, and talk about their stories, what it took for them to become ministers. Some of you guys, what does it take to be a pastor at The Rock? Listen, you don't want to know, because it takes a lot of pain, and it takes a lot of process, but God is the one who raises up, and God's the one who brings low, right? And so God is the one who ordains. And so if you ask me about a process, I couldn't tell you. It's just be faithful, follow God, and if that's what he has for you, that's what he'll do. And so, you know, we're going to talk about that tonight. But also, you saw at the end of the video, it talked about coming in summer of 2026, The Rock Church, Los Angeles. And here's the thing with that, is we've been declaring for decades now that the Inland Empire shall be saved, but I believe God wants to increase, and God wants to say, Los Angeles shall be saved. We announced this past year, but I want to bring up Pastors Donnie and Nicole. They were with us for a number of years, a long time. Pastor Donnie used to work with our IT department. He oversaw all of the information technology and those sorts of things. And so, you know, just been a blessing. They went out to launch the Rock Church of Riverside, which eventually became Elevate Life. Pastors Tom and Heather Flores, whom we dearly love, they're still in relationship with them and dearly love them. And they didn't leave bad or anything like that. It's just God was stirring something in them. And so they showed up back here at the Rock. And in fact, Pastor Johnny called me and said, it's okay if we come back to church. I'm like, is it okay with your pastor? You know, like, what's going on? And he said, yeah, we're good. You know, just God's moving, doing some things. And so we believe our season here is done. And so we wanted to know if we could come back to the Rock. I said, absolutely. For 6 months, I stared at them across the front row. And especially Pastor Johnny, because he was here like 3-4 services a week, left you at home and said, I'm going to church, you know? And I'm over there looking at him across the way because he's always sitting over there. And I said, God, what is he doing here, you know? Well, our former youth pastor, Richard Villanueva, who's just wonderful, he was having some stirrings in him, and he said, Pastor Dan, it's time for me to move on and go do some different things. And he's now currently teaching and a professor, that sort of a thing. And I said, ah, God, I know what Donnie's doing here. And so he was able to bridge the gap, became our youth pastor, and has led well over the years. And God gave us a word, and God just shared some things with us. I gave it to them, and they went out to Carson in Los Angeles, and God just spoke to them that they're to plant a church. They're going to call it the Rock Church Los Angeles. Even though it's in Carson, it'll be Rock Church Los Angeles, because God has a greater vision. God wants to bring increase, and he wants to increase his kingdom influence there, and I believe he's going to start in Carson. Who knows what God's going to do? Maybe there'll be a network of rock churches out there, or who knows? But I do know that God is doing some things in them, and so we're going to pray for them because they're transitioning. He's handed over the ministry to Terrence. Terrence is over there doing it. Like I said, tonight we're going to call him Pastor Terrence, youth pastor, and they're transitioning now to set their sights on Los Angeles to increase the territory that God has for them. And so I'm going to pray for them and bless them as they start to transition their ministry. Would you just stretch out a hand towards them at this time as we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for Pastors Donnie and Nicole, God. Thank you, Lord, that you've led them to this place, God. Everything up until this point has been training, God, and has been your proving ground for their lives and for their ministry that's ahead of them, God. Lord, I bless them right now, God, as they prepare to transition, God, and to take a step into a new arena, God. Thank you, Father God, for increase, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, that you are putting the shepherd's rod in their hands, God. You are calling them to pastor your people, God, that you will bring. We thank you, Father God, for salvations in Los Angeles, God, that there's going to be a new well of salvation dug there in Carson, God, and that they will strike water, Lord, and that with joy they will draw waters from that well, God. They will see salvation after salvation after salvation, God, by the thousands, God, that you will bring them in, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you're going to give them open doors, and God, as well, the closed doors, Lord, where they don't need to be, God. May that be a closed door for them because they're just as important. We thank you for strategic relationships, God, for people to come alongside them, to lift up their hands and carry this work, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for people who will surround them, God, with their prayers and their faith, God, and who will take this ministry with them, Lord God, because we know that you never just do it alone, not just with the one, but God, that you build a team and a family, God, a body and a house, God, that you're building. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus now, God, we just declare that your goodness goes before them, God, that you are making a way, God, making smooth paths before their feet, God, and that they will be blessed, God, as they start this work this year. In Jesus' name, we're all in agreement, we say amen, amen, amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise. If you're looking to be involved somehow, there's three simple ways that you can be involved. Number one is that you can pray for them. In fact, all of us need to pray for them because the devil's going to try and stop that good work and attack them. Already has been attacking them in their health and just in so many different ways. And so pray for them, pray for the work, pray for Los Angeles, pray for Carson, pray for leaders, that sort of a thing. Secondly, if you'd like to give, if you have the means to give and you want to donate towards that work, we've got a keyword for them that you can find on our website, on the giving platforms, or if you make it out a check or you put it on an envelope, just put Rock Church LA. We'll make sure that that goes towards that work. Some of you guys have already gave towards that effort. Thank you for your generosity and your donations towards that. They're currently using that to set up websites and set up their articles of incorporation, that sort of a thing, and there will be rentals and purchases, and you know they're going to need equipment and gear and all that kind of stuff, and find a space and everything like that. So that will all go towards that. And then finally, the third way to get involved is that maybe God's put it on your heart to actually go and drive to LA and participate. Maybe that's for a year, maybe that's for 6 months or 3 months. Just help them get it started. Sometimes it just helps having like-minded people of faith that say, hey, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, I'll set up chairs, I'll run the sound, I'll do the overheads, you know, I'll sing, I'll, you know, play the guitar, I'll help out with the kids, whatever is needed, you know. And sometimes you just need prayer teams or, you know, different things like that to help out. And so if God's put that on your heart, maybe God's calling you to move to LA and be a part of that work. I mean, that's huge. You better know that's God, you know what I mean? And talk to us about that, and we'll walk that journey with you. But at the very least, maybe some of you guys are called for a period of time to travel, help them get that work started, train up some leaders out there, and then come on back. Amen? I believe that God has some great things for all of us in the year ahead. It all comes down to this. In John chapter 3, verse number 30, when Jesus' ministry was growing and John the Baptist's ministry was declining, his disciples came to him and they were like, hey, John, Jesus is baptizing more people than you. Like, what do you think? And John made this profound statement. I believe that this is something that we all need to attach to. He said these words. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. May that be our prayer. May that be our aim and our goal this year, that God is the one who increased. Because if this is going to be a year of increase, I don't care about the money. I don't care about the stuff. All that other stuff, you can keep it. You can have this world. Just give me Jesus. I want God to increase. I want God to grow. I want God to be magnified and glorified. I want his power. I want his presence. I want his provision. I want the increase. He must increase and I must decrease. Going to be a great year ahead of us, a year of increase.
We have some things for you to keep it in front of you. And so as you go into your fast and prayer this for the rest of this month, we have a devotional that we have made for you from the pastors here on staff. We've written 21 days of a devotional for you. These are free, so they will be on the tables on the outside as you walk out. Grab one per person. And I hope that this blesses you in the mornings. It keeps you on track. It gives you a heart full of faith and keeps you into a mindset of God's goodness in your life and God's blessing in your life. And then we also dropped some merch, and so I've been wearing it. Okay,
this is a little tease because she's been wearing this the whole time. You didn't even know this was the new shirts for the year.
And I'm in perimenopause, guys. I'm sweating. So this was for
on the,
you.
On the front, it's embroidered, and it says made for more. And then on the back, it has part of the prayer of Jabez, enlarge my territory that you would bless me indeed. Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 9 and verse number 10. Now, I want to say this. Because some of you guys are school teachers, or you're just grammatically inclined, and notice on the shirt up there, it says Chronicles. It's supposed to say First Chronicles, right? But I'll tell you, when there's a mistake, it's actually more valuable. So if you want to get the exclusive, make sure to see the bookstore on the left-hand side of the foyer as you exit today and pick up that before they sell out and before we reprint for all of those who are quietly judging our grammar, okay? So get that today before they're all out, because we're not going to reprint these shirts again. These are going to be the ones that are worth money in the future, right?
Yeah. And I just wanted to say that the picture on front of the journal, or the devotional, I keep calling it a journal, is a prophetic word over our church that has been spoken over Dan and I. Gosh, I can't even tell you how many times since we said yes to this job. people have been coming one after another, not talking to each other, just giving a word. And it's that there will be streams coming out of the desert. And along that, as the church is there planted, that there will be poppies that will pop up as God's word goes forth into dry place, into dry land. And I believe that the Rock Church is going to nourish this desert land, and that God's goodness and blessing is pouring out on us. And we believe that this is the year that we're going to see the increase of what God has been doing under the desert land. And so if you're wondering what that picture is, it's a prophetic word that's been spoken over us, and I can't wait to see what God is going to do.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Jess. Praise the Lord. Well, hey, before we conclude the church service today, people are walking out. Why are you walking out? Hey. Got an emergency? Got to get to work? Some of you guys need to leave early. You guys can go. The rest of you guys, you can't go. God's good. I want to encourage you guys to remain seated. Give us a couple more minutes of your time, then we'll let you go. Okay, about 6 minutes we got left on the clock. I want to make sure before we leave this place that your heart is right with God, that if you died, you wouldn't end up in hell, that you'd go to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. It's God's way. Can't get there your way, my way, someone leading church committee's way, and not all roads lead to heaven. Sometimes people think in order to get to heaven, you got to be good. You can't be good enough. Standard's perfection. Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You can't be good enough to earn your way to heaven. Sometimes people think that if they can just attend enough church, if they were raised in church, parents told them they were Christians growing up. Maybe they sat in a seat in a sanctuary or watched a church service online, that's good enough, and they get to go to heaven. You know that nowhere in the Bible say church attendance gets you into heaven? It's not going to make it. You can't get to heaven by attending church or being raised in church. Sometimes people think you're going to go to heaven because you got involved in church. I didn't just sit, I helped out, Pastor. I'm not one of those people that just sits. I got to serve. That's great. I'm glad you served. Show that to me. The Bible, where serving in church gets you into heaven. I don't care if you carried the pastor's Bible, taught in the Bible classes, got a membership card. God's not looking for your membership card before you can enter the gates of heaven. You might be thinking, oh, I know how to get to heaven. You just got to know God. I know God. I know about Jesus. I know about Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs of Christmas every year of my life. I've got scriptures memorized, Old and New Testament. I believe that I'm going to go to heaven because I know who God is. You know, the devil knows who God is. He can quote scriptures. You find that in the Gospels. Demons believe. And they demons believe. The Bible uses the word they believe. Believe what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe that God is who he says he is. But demons are not going to heaven. They're going to end up in hell forever. Along with those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everybody look up at me for a second. Even online, look at your screen right now. This is not about what you have up here in your head. It's not about having mental assent or acknowledgement of who God is, being able to quote a scripture, sing a song. It's not about what you've done out here with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance, or involvement. You might look the part, you might talk the part, but you might still die and go to hell. And I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you, but more than both of us, God doesn't want that for you. That's why he sent Jesus, beaten, bloody, and hung on the cross, a public spectacle for all to see. So that if you died, you didn't have to die and go to hell. But how do we make a change? How do we change course? How do we change destinies? Well, Jesus is God, and he said this in John, the third chapter. He said, you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. When you surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ, God comes in and he makes you brand new on the inside. That's the part of you that's born again. And that's the requirement. You must. It's not a way, it's the way to heaven. There are so many people who think that they're right with God or going to heaven, and yet they've never surrendered all of their heart and life to Jesus, never been born again. And today, if that's you in this place, maybe you've been in church all your life, but you never surrendered everything to God, I want to give you that opportunity. Or maybe you're in this place and you've walked away. You forsook the way of God. You backslid, found yourself in places you never thought you'd be, doing things you never thought you'd do. Maybe you've gotten lethargic or complacent in your walk. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is speaking to a church, and he says, when I come, I want to find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit you from my mouth. Maybe today you need to make a change. You're saying, I want to surrender everything to God. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to just fall asleep and wake up and realize it's too late. I want to surrender everything to God. If that's you in this place today, in a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. And when you hear the sound of my hand popping that microphone, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're acknowledging your need for Jesus. You're saying, I want to give God all my heart and life, be born again and head for heaven, and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You can put it right back down if you're alive. Online, you just throw it up for a moment. Put it right back down. You say, why do I got to do that? I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment is to end up in hell? See, the devil's going to try and talk out of this. Tell him to go jump in a fiery lake. You're not going with him. Going on with God today. Because Jesus said, if you confess me before my Father in heaven, before people, before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, he says, I will deny you. Today it's your call. It's your choice. You can sit there and do nothing, and that is a choice. Or how about this? Get right with God. You might be thinking, Pastor, I prayed that prayer one time. That's it, right? That's all I need to do is pray a prayer. That's all you want me to do is pray a prayer. No, it's all of your heart and all of your life. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Not just he who says a prayer and then lives like the devil. No. You got to surrender everything to God. Keep going with God. You see, but Pastor, I have more time. Leave me alone. I'm young. I'm healthy. I've got dozens of years left over. I'm good. Listen, you don't know your last days on the earth. We're all one accident, one incident, one virus, one bomb, one earthquake, one breath away from eternity. Jesus could come back at any moment. We don't know the day or the hour, but we do know the times and the seasons, and we are in the last days. He's coming. Will you be ready? Who should raise their hand if you've been running from God instead of to God? I'm speaking to you. If you're not sure, make sure today. If you've never done this before, could have been in church all your life, but you never crossed that line, giving God everything. Come on, today's your day to surrender everything. Or maybe you're half-hearted, maybe you're lukewarm. You need to make a fresh rededication to the Lord. Today, it's your day. Get ready to get your hands up. If that's you in any of those categories I just listed, I'm gonna count to three. Pop my hand on this microphone. You get your hand up. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high. There's one, two. Thank you. There's three up on top. Got you over there. There's four right there. Thank you. Five. Got you right there. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Six, seven. Got you right there. Thank you. Who else today? Who else today? Got you up there on top. Thank you. God bless you. Who else on this side? There's seven wise people. Anybody else? Eight got you in the back. Yeah, that's wonderful. Eight wise people. Come on. If you're sitting there wondering if you should. Yeah, nine, I got you. Thanks for the wave. Appreciate that. That helps. Anybody else real quick? Anybody else real quick? There's nine, ten. Yeah, it's excellent. Great choice. Who else today? You're saying, man, I know I need to. You haven't yet surrendered everything. Come on, if that's you. Maybe you're wrestling on the inside. Fighting with God over this. Ah, God, I'm okay. I don't need to. And God said, no. Will you give me everything, all of your heart and all of your life? Come on, don't reject what the Holy Spirit is inviting you to right now. Receive. Receive that eternal life. Hey, wonderful. Wonderful. I got you in the back. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, 11 and 12. Got you up there on the top. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Got you guys. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? Who else? Anyone else? This is the last call. We're going to wrap this up. We're going to pray. Anybody else? All right, let's give the Lord a great big praise. Hallelujah. Can we all stand to our feet? And those of you that raised your hand, the Bible says that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. I want to invite you right here to the altar to make that confession. I'll lead you in it. It's nothing weird's going to go on, all right? Just a prayer, a simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart. Would you just step out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front right now? Church, nudge your neighbor. Say, come on, friend. If you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring him down. Come on, if that's you. You raise your hand. You should have raised your hand. Just get out of your seat and meet us up front right now. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Come on, you can come too. Come on, they're still coming. Let's give them a hand. Come on, even if you didn't raise your hand, just get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front right now. Come on down. From the family rooms, if your children raise your hand or you raise your hand, come on, bring your kids. They're welcome in this time. Come on down. Come on down. Anybody else? Come on. We'll wait for you. If you need to come, just come. Come on down. Come on down. Come on, church, are you excited about giving the people their hearts and lives to the Lord? Come on, let's encourage them. If you need to come, just step out. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Come on, right now. Come on, they're still coming. They're still coming. If you need to come, just make your way to the front. Like I said, we'll wait for you if that's you. Praise the Lord. I love seeing young people give their hearts to the Lord because I know a whole life is going to be lived for Jesus. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 15, and I've lived my life for Jesus. I haven't been perfect, but I've lived my life for Jesus, and Jesus has done some great things. Hey, guys, Jesus is going to do great things in your life today. You're going to be born again, made new on the inside. The past, the sin, it's wiped away today. It's gone. God has a future for you. It's going to bring increase into your life, but you got to stay consistent with him. That means keep coming to church, keep reading your Bible, keep praying, keep doing the things you know to do. God, even though we plant, we water, God gives the increase. He's going to do some phenomenal things. Give him this year. Be consistent with God. Give him your year, because it's his anyways, right? Now that you're his, you say, God, it's yours. This next year, commit. Be faithful. God's going to bless you in amazing ways. Let's pray together. Everybody, would you bow your heads, close your eyes with us, especially those of you giving your hearts to the Lord, whether you're here at the altar or online. I want you to pray this prayer out loud together in faith. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the name of Jesus to give you all of my heart and all of my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past and give me a future with you, for I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and let it be known that from this day on, I am saved. I'm a Christian. I'm born again, headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, can we give the Lord a great big praise today? Isn't God good? Hey, guys, welcome to the family of God. We're so excited for you. Now, listen, I didn't grow in the things of God, so I had some friends encourage me, teach me some things out of the Bible, pray with me. So I want to give you a friend, Pastor Joel over here. He wants to just give you some free stuff. Little book says, I'm new, what do I do? It'll answer that question for you, help you to get started on the right foot, as well introduce some great people, some faithful friends that would encourage you so you can help be strong and get consistent in your walk with God. Take a couple minutes of your time. Your friends and family that came with you, they'll wait for you. And if you got your children in the children's ministry, they're safe. Just make a left turn and follow Pastor Joel right this way. Come on, let's give them a hand as they go. Hallelujah. Well, hey, Rock family, 2026 is going to be a year of increase in your life and in this church. In Jesus' name, I believe that God has great things in store for all of us tonight. Remember, come and participate in the ordination ceremony and service that's going to take place as we increase ministers here at the Rock Church World Outreach Center. It's a great way to get involved tonight, 6 p.m., and then Wednesday night, 7. Then, ladies, you guys are starting back up, which means young adults, you guys are starting back up Friday, right? You guys know Aaron? Aaron, come here real quick. You guys know Aaron? Look at Aaron. I'm going to bring him up tonight, too. Aaron, this is a man of God right here. A mighty man of God. I tell you, this guy blesses me. He ran our social media for years, and this guy can write like you wouldn't believe. I mean, some of the stuff he wrote brought me to tears. He'd tell people's testimonies and things like that. And Aaron has revival on the inside of him. Aaron's getting ready to lead the young adults ministry here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And so young adults, get ready for some fire. Amen? So you guys are getting started this Friday, right? Every other Friday, so starting this Friday, 7 p.m., come and join Aaron and the crew that's going to be here. It's going to be great, Aaron. Love you, man. Can I bless you as you go? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare out loud on purpose and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.